Hey everybody out there, welcome back over to the podcast. I'm your host, Brother D. This is the Biblical Truth Podcast, and I'm so thrilled and happy that I have the honor of once again doing this. it really is an honor. You know, I can just go over so many different reasons as to, you know, what that definition means, but you know, let me just say that if you went to sleep last night and you woke up, you need to thank God right now. Like, seriously, you need to thank him because, you know, there's so many people who close their eyes with the confidence that they're going to wake up tomorrow. A lot of people have planners. They envision how their day is going to unfold the next day from morning to the afternoon to the evening. They know exactly what they're going to do. And then it happens. Their heart stops beating and they pass on into eternity. And that's just, that is life, folks. And if you have been blessed enough to open your eyes today and to breathe in today and to be able to hear and to be able to see and to think, if you can do these things, then it is an honor. It is a blessing to be alive right now. We are supposed to be utilizing our time the best that we possibly can do. And that means when you get up, you wear a smile, you edify who you can in the Lord, you try to just be an honorable testimony for his name's sake, for the name of Jesus. We're alive, people. We are here, and I'm here, and I'm just happy to be able to bring, you know, yet another episode of the BTC podcast. I believe this is episode 52. My gosh, like, some people might be like, well, that's a lot of episodes. Not when you started it all the way back in like 2018. Yeah. I'm sure my audience have shifted so many times between that time period because I would pick it up and I would drop it, pick it up and I would drop it, because there's so many things that have happened to me between the years of 2018 and this year that it would take an entire podcast just to cover it, but I'm not here to do that. I'm just here to, you know, just bring, you know, today's message to fruition and, you know, the manifestations of my mind and my experiences, along with the Bible, of course, in hopes that it'll help somebody out there that's in need. Like, this podcast is designed to get people to think. It is thought-provoking. It is inspiring. It is motivating. It is everything. It is biblical truth central. You know, this is the central hub, you know, for all of your biblical needs, because we believe in the Bible cover to cover, line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible is the word of God, the living word of God. The Bible says that, you know, holy men of God wrote the scriptures, which means that they didn't write the Bible from their own private interpretations, but they wrote the Bible because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. Amen. So if you noticed, you know, we opened up today's episode with some music, and it's a little different, you know, hopefully it didn't throw people off too much. And, you know, if you enjoyed it, great. You probably got to listen to about a good minute and 30 seconds of that music, or maybe you're like me and you kind of want to hurry up and skip over the, you know, the appetizers and get straight to the meat, straight to when the podcast begins. So I'm just experimenting to see what works and what doesn't work. I took a poll over on my YouTube channel, which is also called Biblical Truth Central. If you are interested in checking that out, then just go on over to YouTube and type in Biblical Truth Central and it should pop up. But I took a poll over there just asking people, you know, what type of content do they prefer to consume? Visual content, meaning videos like you see on YouTube, or podcast style content like what you're listening to right now, because a lot of times if you're like me, you're busy, like you're driving or you're working or you're just doing things and you just want to hear content in the background when you do what it is you do. And a lot of people actually preferred the podcast type of content. So if you're listening to this, you will also, you know, if you want to know, I'm going to tell you anyway, even if you don't, if you do, these episodes also get uploaded to my YouTube channel as well. So if you're listening to it here, phenomenal. If you're listening to it on YouTube, then that's great too. So either or, you know, I just want the message to get out there, regardless of what you're doing or where you are within this world. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about something that's very, very important, folks. Both men and women, I can attest. I've been there. Have had these struggles. And I'm not just talking about worldly people, people who are not saved. I'm talking about Christians. Like, most of the time when I am doing these podcasts, I am addressing the body of Christ. I want people to understand that just because you come to the Lord and you are saved does not mean that you don't have the capability of falling. It doesn't mean that you don't have the capability of just messing up. Like, it happens. I remember when I came to Christ, I thought that everything was just going to be amazing and I wouldn't struggle. I wouldn't have any type of like problems and I was just going to be holy. And yeah, you know, we mess up, we slip, and we have things in which we struggle with. And I want to read some scripture, you know, before I continue, just to kind of give you an understanding as far as, you know, why we do the things that we do. And, you know, just to get a deeper perspective. And I'm in Romans chapter 7, and we're at verse 14, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Basically, I'm just kind of giving you a prelude before I read. You know, He's puzzled right now. He's questioning things as if, like, you know, there's this question mark in his head. Like, why is things the way that they are right now when I know what's right, but I still do the things that are wrong? Like, how many of you have been in that position? You know what's right, but you tend to do the things that's wrong. So verse 14 of Romans 7 says, you know, we know the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. Now, that part of verse 17 is what I like to just focus on, because a lot of times we will beat ourselves up as to what is wrong with me. Why do I keep doing certain things? And I know that it's wrong, but, and I know what's right, but why am I not doing what's right? But verse 17 affirms, I'll read it again. It says, as it is no longer I myself who do this, but it is the sin living in me. And I'll close it up with verse 18. It says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. So it is our sinful nature that resides within us that causes us, you know, when we have a weak moment, as we say, or we're not, if we're just not being strong spiritually, so to speak, we can fall to the lust of the flesh, that being the sinful nature. I talk about this often. When we are spiritually malnourished, we are going to fall into sin. We are going to do the things that the flesh desires. And that sinful nature that is within us will rear its ugly head. You may be saved, but you have a part of you that is stowed away deep inside of you in chains. But if you stop praying the way that you were praying, if you stop reading the Bible the way that you were supposed to, if you quit going to church and you stop planting yourself around people who love God and who will hold you accountable, those chains will begin to loosen. And when they begin to loosen, the arms and the legs of that sinful nature will begin to move and start moving that chain around. And before you know it, it's moving your body. And then you're doing things in which you know are wrong. And I just wanted to open up with that because, you know, what I'm going to be talking about is sexual sin. Sexual sin. You know, growing up, you know, my folks tried their best to censor things. I remember going to the movies with my mom and my stepdad. It was me and my sister at the time. I have two other siblings. And, you know, they weren't born. So they took us to the movies because they didn't have a sitter. And I remember, I think it was maybe like 1993, I believe, the movie White Men Can't Jump was out in theaters. So we went to the theaters, you know, with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson and Rosie Perez. But anyway, you know, there was a sex scene in that movie, and I remember my mom told us to close your eyes, don't look, don't look. And of course, you know, we close our eyes, they put their hands over our eyes so that we can't see things. You know, they tried their best to shield us. But, you know, unfortunately in this world, sex, you know, the one thing that was supposed to be meant for marriage between a husband and his wife, a man and a woman, was taken and perverted by the devil himself. And because of this, you know, he made it to where everywhere we looked, there was some sort of sexual content. And I'm not talking about nudity. Like, it doesn't have to be just nudity, but there's so many different things in which, you know, get the mind racing when it comes to sexual sin. So he put it in on magazines, he put it in music, TV shows, just a little bit of, you know, lingerie there, swimsuits here, just in inappropriate places. And, you know, growing up, you know, we saw this, you know, all kids see it, it's everywhere. And even as teenagers, you know, we see it. And of course, around that time, you're going through puberty, you're thinking about things, and you want to do things that you hear all of your friends talking about. A lot of adults, I'd have to say well above the age of 25, 30, 40 years old or whatnot, who struggle, you know, with sexual sin, probably had a traumatic experience as a child. They probably were not educated properly either in their younger years. And I get it. It's a very tough topic for parents to talk about to their children. But remember, what you don't teach your kids, the devil will. what they don't learn from you, they will learn in the streets. They will learn from their friends, and they will always be a perverted version of what you could have taught them, the value and the purity thereof. It'll always be that way. And a lot of adults today are suffering due to the experiences they've gone through as children, whether it was sexual abuse, molestation. Maybe they stumbled, like myself, maybe they stumbled upon porn. I found pornography probably at the age of 11. And it belonged to a family member, you know, who was never confronted, never punished. You know, I was the one that was left with those scars. And I can tell you that I struggled with sexual sin all throughout my teenage years, my early 20s, all the way up until I came to the Lord at 26 years old. And since then, you know, I've talked to several different people, like men, and there's women too. A lot of people think, oh, it's just men. Like, no. It's women too. You know, don't let social media fool you. Like, if you talk to women who are honest, they will tell you the same, that they have the same exact struggles that men do. And it makes perfect sense because we are sexual creatures. We are designed to procreate. Those feelings that are within us are not meant to ignore. They're there. They're just not going to go away. Like, if you don't have those feelings, then I got to question whether you're human or not. So, but the thing is, you know, just because we have feelings, it doesn't mean for us to act on those feelings. And I think that that's the problem with society. Society has affirmed a lot of things that the Bible considers to be sin, and they celebrate it. They parade it around, and they try, well, they not try, but honestly, they have normalized just about everything that is sexual outside of marriage. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says to flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside of the body, but whosoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Now, much like a lot of you out there, I growing up, learning about sin, some of you as well, people will always say, all sin's the same. There is no gauge when it comes to sin. And I beg to differ. Let's just establish that I believe personally that all sin can be forgiven. I believe it can be forgiven in the same capacity because the blood of Christ is powerful enough to forgive all sins, no matter how heinous or how terrible. But I don't believe that all sin is the same. I've never seen a Bible verse that even said all sin is equal. You know, it just says that God detests sin and that sin is wrong. I just don't see anything. But what I do see is that there are particular sins that God will call an abomination, which if you don't see the difference between the Lord saying this is an abomination unto the Lord versus this is sinful against God, then you must don't read the Bible, or you have no discernment or something of the nature. And there are sins that God completely says that are an abomination, you know, that being bestiality, homosexuality, things of that nature. Being prideful is an abomination to the Lord. But when it's talking about sexual sin here, it says that unlike all other sin, this sin you're committing with your body, and it sins against your body. You're using your body to sin against itself. And all other sin in which we commit is literally outside of the body. You slap somebody in the face, you hit them. You know, you hurt your brother or your sister. That's sin. You lie to somebody. That's sin outside of the body, you know. But when you are doing things, you know, with your body, that is literally utilizing the instrument of your body, which the Bible says that we are to, you know, commit our instruments to the Lord. We are to live as a living sacrifice. But when you are doing things with your body, with other people, you're sinning against yourself. So there is a difference. There is a difference. And if it wasn't, I don't think that the magnitude of it wouldn't be any emphasis on it. Because think about it for a second. Like I said, we see this everywhere, folks. Sex is all over the place. It's everywhere. It's very hard for us to get away from. And to be quite frank, unless you are a Buddhist monk or living under a rock or some jungle in Congo, you're not getting away from sexual content. You're just not. And who knows what they do in private. So I'm just gonna leave that alone right there. We don't want to, like, you know, draw pictures, of course. But man is sinful. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Man is sinful, folks. Fighting against sexual sin is a battle that a lot of people lose. You know, why do they lose it? Well, because number one, it is something that they are ashamed of. And when you are ashamed of your sin, you keep it to yourself. You don't want anybody to know. And you just, you know, you keep doing it over and over and over, thinking that, well, nobody's going to find out. So I don't have to tell anybody. You know, I got this under control. And that's probably one of the biggest lies. Like, you don't have it under control, because if you did, then you would stop. And if you have nobody to hold you accountable to that sin, how do you expect to stop? You know, it's a lot of the sexual sin that we're in. We keep it on the low. There's so many, like, men who are married, who they got a whole wife right next to them, right? They don't have to even ask for it. It's like, she's, you know, just say the word and bam, I'm trying to keep this PG, of course, but we're adults here and this is a serious topic. But there's men with whole wives next to them, a whole woman that they even may be attracted to, and they still watch porn, like, on the low. Like, they're going, you know, they just, it's bad. It's really bad. And the vice grip of pornography is a grip that is so strong that I believe that you have to let people know that you struggle with it so you can have people praying for you and hold you accountable to it. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Nobody's going to know that you need help unless you say something. And I get it. You're embarrassed. The shame is a bit too much. You know, I know somebody now who has fallen into sin. And it has caused this person a lot of pain, a lot of shame, and it has put this person in a predicament that, to be quite frank, it's just going to be, it's going to be pretty challenging to get through this. But I'm, you know, much like everything, the Lord is he's amazing and he can get us through anything. But anyway, you know, I remember telling this person, you know, you need to tell somebody else, like you need to tell your friends, those that you consider to be close to you, that are, you know, these godly people in your life. And this person was like, I don't want to feel judged. I don't want to feel shamed. I'll heal on my own. I'll heal on my own. And just so we're clear, this was sexual sin that this person fell into. And when someone tells me that they will heal on their own, just completely contradicts what the Bible says. You know, I'll read it again, James 5, verse 16. You know, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, that you may be healed. And there never says anything about you healing on your own. So, I mean, you know, we can speculate that there are some people who are just different and, you know, maybe they do need downtime alone to heal. But, you know, the Bible says that, you know, if you truly want to be healed, then you need to confess your sins to, you know, fellow brothers and sisters, and not be afraid of being judged. Like a true Christian, a true brother in Christ, a true sister in Christ is not going to judge you based on the sin in which you commit. Because I can almost promise you that there's something that all of us have either do in secret or have done in the past that we don't want anybody to know about. There has to be something. And none of us are in the position to judge or to ridicule anybody. So I personally think that Christians need to do a better job at letting other believers be vulnerable and open up to them about when they actually fall into sin, because the Bible tells us to confess our sins to each other. Like, it doesn't say confess your sins to God, although we know we're supposed to do that. We already know that we're supposed to do that, but he takes it a step further and says to confess your sins before, you know, other people that are godly, that are part of the body of Christ, so that you might be healed. So a lot of people who are struggling with sexual sin, they're keeping it in secret. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, then you need to open up. You need to tell somebody, you know, whether it's your pastor or a deacon or a brother or sister in the Lord. Like, don't try to fight this by yourself, because I'm not saying that you can't win, but I think that the battle would probably be a lot harder if you were to continue to fight it by yourself. You know, some fights are just not meant for us to fight by ourselves. You know, porn addiction, it's very destructive. Porn addiction has ruined marriages. It screws the mind up of a person. It sets the expectations to what marital sex is supposed to look like. Like, it completely distorts what actual marital sex looks like. You know, and I'm not here to, like, I'm definitely not here to get into detail of as to what that means or whatnot. But, you know, again, there's a clear difference. And people that struggle with that, watching that stuff, it ruins them. It really does. And I just wish people would understand that you need help. You know, you pray, you know, to be delivered from it, and talk to somebody as well, you know, to just so you can, somebody else knows that you struggle with this. And I need you to keep an eye on me. I need you to call. I need you to text. I need you to ask questions, you know, because when you apply that pressure to people, you know, they don't want to disappoint. You feel me? They want to be held to a high standard too, because I really don't believe that Christians really want to be fighting with this. You know, just constantly beating themselves up because they keep falling into sexual sin. You know, pornography is just one. Of course, there's lust. You know, lust comes from different avenues. You know, social media, that being one. You know, let me just say this while it's on my mind. So some of you out there, some of y'all, your church members, your pastors, and you follow people on social media you got no business following. Like some of you pastors, I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm not crazy, you know, and there's ways that there are ways that your followers or friends or whatever can see the type of people that you follow. So if you are like a pastor and you're following like these women with, you know, booty shorts on and just standing in provocative ways and in ways that a lady should just not be presenting herself, what does that say about you? What does that do for you? And we wonder why we see so many cases of pastors falling into sexual sin, sleeping with church members and cheating on their spouses. It's shameful. It is so embarrassing. Like I personally refuse to share any story like that on social media because the last thing that the body of Christ needs is more criticism from the world. When the world really doesn't need to be criticizing anybody, but they will criticize us because, you know, we that believe in the Lord are held to a high standard. And when we fall, it's more of a ha-ha moment. Look at those stupid Christians. Like, they're no better than we are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they just got suits on and they say hallelujah. But anyway, you know, I just refuse to share stories like that. But, you know, lust is a very big problem in the body of Christ. And I think that, you know, fighting against that doesn't have to be hard. Like, you know, mine, who you follow on social media, like if you follow guys, ladies too, you know, if you follow men and women that tempt you, then you need to unfollow them now. Like you really just ask yourself, like, why do I follow this person? What am I getting out of this person? Like, seriously, what is it doing for my spirit? Looking, I mean, because especially like some of these people have no problem with selling, you know, their bodies, you know, to promote products or promote some sort of agenda or whatever. What's that doing for you spiritually? And if it's nothing, then you need to unfollow it. You need to unfollow it. You know, guard your eyes at all times. Like, you know, there's an old saying, out of sight, out of mind. If you don't see it, you know, the chances of you thinking about it are low. I'm not saying that it's just going to go away completely, but, you know, if you are like me and you have kids and a wife and you work and you're just busy with the day-to-day tasks and stuff like that, like you may not even have time to even be thinking about that type of stuff. So, you know, mind what you look at on a day-to-day basis. Because if you keep looking at it every day, it'll stay on your mind and it will take your mind to a place it doesn't need to be. Like, again, we have a responsibility, folks. We have a responsibility to take care of our spirits and to not let our eyes look upon anything that's wicked or evil. So you may not think that looking at a girl with a BBL and breast job is wicked, but it is wicked because that person is utilizing their body to cause you to fall into sin. Of course, they don't think about it like that, but that's what it is. Like, it is wicked. Unfollow, unfriend, whatever you got to do to protect yourself. Because it's just not going to go away. Because people will continue to do those things. The world's never going to change. Like, when are people going to understand that the world is damned? It's already written. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This world that we live in as we know it and the days are numbered. So sexual sin, you know, just being present within our eyes is never, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And since that's the case, then we have to do the best that we possibly can to fight against it. You know, earlier in this podcast, I talked about how we are sexual beings, and you know, we say, "Hey, I got needs, and you know, my needs need to be met." You know, that's just you saying that you want to sow to your flesh, essentially. And those feelings that you have, you know, we're not going to pretend like it's make believe. I mean, it's real. And they're there. You know, a lot of people fall into fornication as well. You know, you're dating somebody. And I just don't understand. Like, I mean, I'm not going to act holier than thou, but like I was not in the world and that I did not fornicate, because I absolutely did fornicate. Yes, I did. And when I came to the Lord, that was probably the first thing that God convicted me of. And, you know, I got married, you know, to my now wife, 2 months later after I came to the Lord, and those convictions, you know, they went away. It's amazing how you don't have that weighing over you anymore. But there are still people who call themselves Christians and who say that they love God. And we're talking about people like years. They go to church every Sunday. They pay tithes and offerings. They listen to gospel music and sing in the choir. And yet they're pregnant by somebody that they're not married to. You know, they are having sex with somebody that they just came to church with. Oh, we're having Bible study, and then that night they're fornicating. Like, do you understand how big of a contradiction that is? You know, you read the Bible together, and then you have sex together, and you're not married. You know, I a lot of churches, they shy away from this. They don't want to talk about it. And because they don't want to talk about it, a lot of Christians think it's okay. Oh, the pastor doesn't talk about it. Doesn't talk about fornication. So I guess that it's one of those things that was done away with on the cross. Seems to be the mentality that a lot of people have. And I'm like, well, no, I'm afraid not. Because it still exists. It absolutely still exists. You know, I'll read a little bit. Matthew 5, verse 27. Verse 27 says, "You have heard it said before, you must not be guilty of adultery. But I will tell you that if anyone looks at a woman and wants to sin sexually with her in his mind, he has already done sin with the woman." So, I mean, it's not even the act. It's not even the act. It's just the thought. The thought. So let alone doing the act. Jesus said the thought in your mind is sin. Y'all, do you understand why this fight is so hard now? It's challenging. And the more churches run away from this, the more Christians that they're going to think this is okay. But it's still their own fault for failing to study the Bible for themselves. You know, if your church fails you and they don't teach you certain doctrine that's going to keep you pure, you're supposed to be studying the Bible yourself to learn this. And when you have come across this knowledge, you need to back up. You need to repent and come out of it. What does that look like? You know, Brother D, oh man, me and her have been together for 5 years, and the Bible says that fornication is wrong, that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom. I'm like, yeah. So what are you going to do? I don't know, man. You know, she said that if we stop having sex together, that we can't be together. Our ladies, he said that if we stop having sex together, we can't be together. I'm like, well, okay. Look. People say this every day. I want to get closer to God. I want to do the will of God, but you still want to have sex. You still want to do the things you want to do. So I don't believe you. I don't believe you because you're not willing to be a living sacrifice. And a sacrificial act is by telling the person that you're dating that you can no longer have sex with them because it is a sin of fornication that has the potential to drag you straight to hell if you don't repent of it. Why? And another thing that the church doesn't talk about no more is hell. Like, people, I talked about this a couple of days ago on an episode, but I'll say it again. I feel like the thought of hell is vanishing the minds of Christians. It's all about heaven. It's all about having your best life now. It's all about the grace of God. It's all about these things, but it's never about the things in which you struggle with. It's never about the things that have the potential, you know, to destroy you. It's never about the issues that Christians have to deal with every day. Sexual sin is what Christians deal with every single day. Every day. Why do we strive away from what people actually need to hear and expect Christians to be better, to be stronger spiritually? How is that possible? Yeah, some of these churches may hit good points and they may give you messages to make you feel good, but it's still not confronting the obvious. It's not confronting the obvious. And the shame, it's still there because, again, people, they don't talk about it. If the church talked about sexual sin like they should, Christians would not feel so embarrassed to confess that sin to other believers. But since it's never talked about, the biblical education is never applied, how are they supposed to heal? How are they supposed to know? And they don't know the severity of sexual sin. Just like I said again, 1 Corinthians 6:18. And folks, get your Bibles. Check this stuff. It says to flee from sexual immorality. Let's break this whole verse down. Flee from sexual immorality. That means to run. Run. Get away from it. Break up with that person if you have to. Destroy the porn. Deactivate the social media account if you have to. Just flee from it. Run from it. Run. Because if you don't run, the strength and the power and the vice grip of sexual sin is so strong that it's hard for you to get away with. The verse continues and it says, all other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. You are literally destroying yourself when you fornicate. You're destroying yourself when you watch pornography. You're destroying yourself when you masturbate. You're destroying yourself when you look at Playboy magazines and you have these impure thoughts. You are corrupting yourself. You're damaging yourself. And some people are so psychologically damaged that it takes prayer, it takes therapy, it takes a long, long season of singleness. It takes a lot to repair a person who is damaged from sexual sin. And this is why God talks against it so much. It's not that he is trying to take your fun away. It's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that he doesn't understand that you have needs. How could you possibly say that he doesn't understand that I have needs when he created you? He created those needs, and he knows how you were supposed to use them. And he sees that you're using them improperly. And he knows that if you continue to use them improperly, that it will destroy you and corrode you down to the soul. And he knows that if you don't come out of it and repent of it, that it will cast you into hell. Fight. Fight. It's not a battle that you can win by yourself. You'll keep falling. You'll keep failing if you don't come to the Lord. If you don't repent. If you don't tell other brothers and sisters that you're struggling with this. You keep failing. And if you keep failing, you'll keep falling. And at some point, you will accept this as being you. You will accept this as a way of life. You will fall and you will drift. There are young ladies who fell into the pornography industry at the age of 18, 19, babies, 20 years old, and a lot of them, they end up getting the boot because they're no good anymore. And they're so psychologically damaged, they're so ruined that they can't even function in society. They can't get a job. They get on drugs. They end up getting pimped out. And some of them end up getting murdered. A lot of those young ladies don't even, they barely make it to the age of 30. They barely make it. The corrosion of sexual sin goes that deep. And a lot of you out there, I want you to think about that, who watch that stuff, that's somebody's daughter, somebody's son, doing the works of the devil, the perversion that the devil has placed in this world, has so many people in the vice grip and has destroyed so many people from within, to the point a lot of them, they commit suicide or they're murdered or a lot of things happen. They never end up finding a spouse. Flee from sexual immorality. Fight sexual sin. Or it has the potential to destroy you. That concludes our episode here today, February the 17th of 2024. This was a tough one, folks. It really was. Because again, I sympathize with people out there who fight this, because it was a battle for me too. Again, I stumbled upon pornography at 11, 12 years old and fought with it all throughout my teenage years and into my early 20s. But glory be to God for delivering me, for taking that away. And I can talk openly about it. And my prayer is that there's somebody else out there that can do the same, and that they can be set free too. You know, Jesus loves us so much. We mean so much to him. And there's so much that we need to do in this life. We don't need to be struggling with this. You can't walk out your destiny. You can't fulfill your purpose if you're struggling with this. You can't teach nobody anything if you're struggling with this. You're not going to be effective if you're struggling with this. I'm asking you to fight. Fight with all you might. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. I really, really appreciate your love, and I appreciate your support. You know, if you could, I would greatly appreciate it if you would go over to YouTube, you know, type in Biblical Truth Central, subscribe to the channel, and there's over 1,000 videos on that channel. It's a lot of content, lots and lots of content for you to watch that I'm sure are going to be a blessing to you. And share this podcast with somebody that you feel like needs to hear it. I hope it's a blessing to you. Thank you again for listening. God bless you all. This is Brother D from the Biblical Truth Central Podcast. And I will see you all in the next podcast.